It's raining. It's beautiful. God sent us the rain. So we must come to church to thank Him because He sent us the rain. And it's a blessing that you came tonight. And this I've been waiting all this week to talk about money. So we'll talk about money tonight. Now, the pastor told me yesterday, I want to buy a couple hours so you can preach tomorrow 2 hours. So I have already charged for 2 hours, so we're going to be here. You cannot go because it's raining, so you can stay here longer. No amens to that. I'm joking. First Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2. Now, we're gonna read several scriptures tonight. You can help me, Brother Wright, later. We're going to see several scriptures tonight, and we're going to see a few things here. But please, give me your attention. This will be like a Bible study. And, okay, we must give the gospel to every creature. Are you agree with that?
Amen.
What is the purpose of this week? Okay, be encouraged and be refocused in what we're supposed to do. We as a church are supposed to give the gospel to the entire world. Are we clear in that? Are we agree with that?
Amen.
Okay. But so we have that set up. Now, how we will send these missionaries? Money. So we talk about money. So don't make it harder for me, okay? Okay, enjoy teaching about money. Yeah, well, that's another thing. Okay, let's read. Okay, but we're going to read together. Please remain stand. Don't remain sitting. Don't stand. And we're going to read verse 1 and 2 all aloud together, please. And the first two verses, 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, please, all together. Now, concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. During the week, between Sunday and Sunday, during the week, we must think in God. We must not only to be involved in during our week in the job or in the problems of this life. We don't supposed to just focus in the problems in the marriage, and we don't supposed to be just focusing problems of financial problems that you may have or debt that you may have. We must to think in God during the week. We must to pray during the week. We must to read the Bible during the week. We must to come to church. If the church says we're going to have a service, we must to be here. What about the job? Okay, we must to tell the work, hey, I cannot come today. Why? Because I'm going to church. Priorities. But we must to think in God. We must work and work hard as a Christian, as Christians. We don't supposed to depend on government. Three amens. Okay. If the government gives you something, take it. But for free. Okay, but you're not supposed to depend on that. We're supposed to work and work hard. So we as creatures, as people living in this world, we must to work and we must to pay our bills on time. We must to be in the legality. We must to be legal in everything that we do. We must to pay our rent on time. We must to pay our utilities on time. We must to be the good people of town. You have debt with the bank, pay them. You have a debt with a neighbor, pay them. You have a debt with your parents, pay them. But we must do a lot of things during the week, and one of those is to think in God, and part of being member of His family, part of being a Christian is to give money to God. It's nothing complicated to understand and to grasp. We must give money to God. For a Christian, give money to God shall be like breathing. Something natural. Not a big deal. We must to give money to God. I will need more response to that statement because we will have it during the night. So you need to say amen to that. The Bible states that we need to give money to God, but how much? Okay, we need to give money to God. Okay, you are the Creator, and you said we need to give money. Okay, but how much? How much do you want? You know how much I made. I made $500 per week, $400 or $1,000 or whatever. How much do you want? Do you want everything? How much do you want? You want money? Okay, but you don't understand the cost of living here in New York. You don't understand the value of the things here, but you understand I have my debt, but okay. How much do you want me to give to you? Okay, we're just going to learn about that tonight. How much money do we have to give to God? Thank you, Lord, for giving us from your riches. You are the owner of everything. We understand that. We have that clear. And you are so good with us, so magnanimous. You have given us so much. Not only life and health and all the good things, the important things, but also money and riches and things and even desires that we have. You are a good God, very generous. Thank you for that. Now help us in our understanding about our responsibility with you about giving money. Help us tonight in our understanding. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We must give money to God. As creatures, God commands us that, as His creatures, He created us, God commands us that we must to offer money to Him. We must give offerings to Him. And we must to do that. Now, this is nothing new. And I would just mention the verses. There are too much, but follow me, please. This is not new. God gave that commandment to the people of Israel, the Jews in the desert. In Exodus 23, verse 15, He says, "Thou shalt keep the feast of the unleavened bread. Thou shalt eat unleavened bread 7 days, as I command thee, in the time appointment of the month of Abib, for in thou camest out from Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty." God says to His people, "Hey, I want you to come and to celebrate certain feasts and certain ways, certain sacrifices, but nobody can come to me without something to offer." Noah, when he came out of the ark, he made an offering to God. Abraham, he gave offerings to God. King David gave offerings to God. He gave a lot of millions of dollars before he died for the temple. And Israel, the people of Israel, they gave offerings to God. Even poor widows in the Bible, we see that they gave offerings to God. God commands us. He is an order for it's a commandment that we shall give, that we have to give money to Him. Go to your Bibles, please. Let's see a few verses here. Go to Psalm 76, please. Psalm 76, verse 11. Psalm 76, 11, please. God commands us that we must give Him money. Psalm 76, 11. Do you have it? 76:11, please. Psalm 76:11. He says, "Vow and what?" Vow is to make a promise. It's to make a covenant. This is to put your word in front and say, "Okay, I will give you." Vow and pay unto the Lord your God. Let all that be around about Him bring what? Presence unto Him that ought to be feared. So God says you need to make a vow to me and you need to pay to me what you promised to give me. So He expects that we give money to Him. Go to Psalm 96:8, please. Psalm 96:8 in your Bibles. Psalm 96:8. There are many verses about this, but we're going to see these two only. And Psalm 96 verse 8 says, "Give unto the Lord the what?" Psalms 96:8, please. Give unto the Lord what? We must to glorify God. So He says, "Hey, you must to give me something. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name." How we do that? Bring an offering and come into His courts. Listen to me. He says that, okay, you must to glorify me, you must to honor me, you must to come to me, you must to approach to me, but you must to bring me an offering. This is the way that He decides that we're supposed to live with Him. Nobody can come to God with empty hands. We're supposed to give Him money. It's a commandment from God that we need to give Him offerings. Now, we understand in the past they used this agriculture economy. Later, the Industrial Revolution. And now we are not in that area anymore. We are in the time of the information. But we're talking about our means. We're supposed to bring offerings to God. And then Jesus came and looked Luke 6:38, and he repeat again. He says, "Give unto Luke 6:38, and you know that verse. Give, and it shall be given unto you." And he explains in the rest of the verse about how we supposed to give. But listen to me, please. The Bible says that we need to give money to God. If you don't say amen, I will start over again. Until you get it. No, I think you get it. I don't think you like it, but I think you get it. Supposed to give money to God. But how much? You have to give money to God. You have to give money to God. My wife has to give money to God. The pastor has to give money to God. Your husband has to give money to God. I have to give money to God. It's for every single creature. But how much? Okay, let's go to I'm glad that you asked. Okay, let's go to the Bible. Go to Malachi chapter 3, please. Follow me, please. We're going somewhere. Malachi chapter 3. And you know this passage. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8, please. Malachi 3:8. Do you have it? Malachi 3:8? Malachi, how do you say it? Malachi. Okay, Malachi. And then, please don't use this excuse. No, I don't see the verse because you pronounced it wrong. I was looking in the Maya. No. It's Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament. Okay, Malachi 3:8. It says, "Will a man rob God?" Now, God is talking here. And you know the context of this passage is of the entire book is amazing. God is talking with Israel, dealing with them, and he's talking with the talking very hard to the leadership. They had astrayed. They have led the people away from God, and God spoke to them, and he used very strong words against them, and it was so serious this message that the Israel even they don't care about what God says, and they forget about Him, and what happened is that God didn't spoke with them for 400 years. This is the amazing book. But he says, God is talking here, and he says, he's asking people, hey Israel, listen to me, I have a question for you. Will a man rob God? And he answered the question, yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, now the people of Israel say, hey, wait a minute, you ask us if we are robbing you, and you answer before us, and you say that we rob from you. Well, do we rob from you? He says, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? And what God says? Talk to me. Some of you cannot pronounce even the words. Talk to me. In tithe and offering. God says, hey, you are robbing me. Okay, what do we took from you? Okay, you are not paying their tithe and offering. So God expects us, God commands us that we must give Him money. Okay, how much? God says, you have to give me tithe. We're not going there, it's plural, we're not going there now, but you have to pay your tithe and you have to pay offering. Is that clear? Are you willing? Okay, we must give offering. God does expect offering from the creatures that He created. And He expects tithe and offering. Now, let me tell you something. If you pay your tithe, but you don't give offering, God says, you robbed me. If you give offering and you don't pay the tithe, God says, you rob me. We must give both tithes and offerings. I was studying about a little bit about this because the rest of the world, especially Christians, we turn to United States of America. We see how they do it, and we must do how they do things. You are the example. You are the ones that send us the missionaries that gave us the gospel, that instruct us. So that's why we come to you to learn. Now, I was studying a little bit about this, and you know that there's different surveys in America, and I don't know if you are familiar with Gallup surveys. Yeah, polls. Gallup. Okay, Gallup says about tithing the United States of America. It says only 3 to 5% of Americans who give to their local church do so regular tithing. So that's 3 to 5% of the people tithe in America. Barna is another poll. They said 5% of the Americans tithe. In the year 2000, American evangelists collectively made $2.6 trillion on income, and they feel difficult to pay the tithe. For Christians, families making less than $20,000 per year, 8% of them tithe. For families making 75,000 or more, the figure drops to just 1% of them tithe. The average donation by adults who attend any U.S. Protestant church is about $12 a week. Less than a couple Happy Meals. One in three U.S. American Christians says that it is impossible for them to get ahead in life because of the debt, so that's why they cannot pay tithe. If Christians, they know there are Christians here in America, or they're so-called Christian, because there are many that they're not Christians, but they call themselves Christians. If Christians tithe in the United States, you will have in their churches $139 billion more every year for your budgets. I'm trying to jump here. There's a lot of information here. 97% of Christians who tithe and make it a top financial priority to give to their local church. 97% of the ones that tithe, we see it as priority. 7 out of 10 tithers do so based on their gross income and not their net income. People are more likely to practice tithing when they began the practice in their teens. That's very important to teach our children to tithe. 35% of those who do tithe, have a net worth or will that is valued more than $500,000. It's interesting. Tithe. God commanded the tithe. No, that was for Israel. Don't go there, please. Don't go there. It's amazing. The Baptist Church we are almost in our 2000th anniversary of the creation of the church, and we have been here for 2000 years in this world, and all generations of Baptists, we believe in the doctrine of the tithe and paying the tithes to the Lord, and now we have Christians, even Baptists, saying that tithe is only for the Old Testament. Wow, that's crazy, that's ridiculous, that's ignorance of the Bible. The problem is that many people is searching for if we have to pay the tithe or not, but they're searching in the wrong way, places, they're searching in internet, Google, do we have to pay a tithe or not? Do you understand that any ignorant person can take two or three verses out of context and fill a page and a website against tithe and say, explaining that it's only for the Old Testament, only for the Jews, and it's not for us and the dispensation of the church. And some ignorant can write that in London or I don't know where. And now in New York, you read that in internet and say, there is the lesson. We don't supposed to tithe. Pastor, that tithe is wrong for sure. If you're going to study some subject from Bible, study from the Bible. The tithe is a concept created by God. It wasn't invented by a man. The tithe is a commandment according to Leviticus 27. I will not give you this lesson. It's too long. But the tithe is a command. The tithe is an exact percentage of our income. It's a 10% of what we make. The tithe is exactly the 10% of the gross income. We have to give from the gross, not from the gross. Now listen to me, please. We see this commandment being practiced in the Old Testament. Certainly, we see that with Israel. But even before Israel came to exist, the people already paid the tithe. And we see the first person that pays the tithe in Genesis chapter 4. We are not going there. But in Genesis chapter 4, we see that Adam and Eve's children, his sons, came to God and bring an offering. And Cain is the first one that is mentioned in the Bible that brought an offering to God. Now, is good or bad to bring an offering to God? Answer me. Is good or bad? It's good. So why God reject Cain and his offering if it's good? And he came with his offering. Then Abel came and God. The Bible says that God respect the person for what he brought to him. And the Bible explains that he brought three things. He brought the firstlings. He according to the book of Numbers 18, the firstlings means the tithe. But also he brought flock. That means living animals. Why he brought living animals? That God has a big ranch and he needs more animals to put there. Why he brought living animals to him? Well, according to Leviticus 17:11, according to the law and the mind of God, these animals were to be sacrificed to shed the blood, so the sin could be covered, so they can approach God. And also, the Bible says there in Genesis 4 that Abel, he brought fat animals. That means the fat. He brought these fat animals. According to Leviticus chapter 3, the explanation of what the fat means of that sacrifice, it means that he brought the best sweet odor to the Lord. So God saw Cain, and Cain, he brought maybe 2 or 3 tons of fruits, and I'm sure it wasn't something that was wasted or something wrong. He brought these offerings to God, something good. God said, I don't like it, and you are wrong, and you know that you are wrong. We talk about that later. And Abel, wow, that's wonderful. I like you because what you brought to me. Well, he brought blood to cover his sin, and also he brought the tithe and offering. So that was before Moses even exists or was a taught. But after that, you know that we see Abraham paying the tithe to Melchizedek, and we saw later Jacob, his grandchildren, paying the tithe, also promising the tithe to pay the tithe there in Genesis 28 verse 22. And we see that, and then we come to Jesus, and note please what he says about that. Go to Matthew 23:23, please, in your Bible. Matthew 23:23 in your Bibles, please. Let's see what our Lord says about paying the tithe. Matthew 23:23. Look what Jesus says about the matter. You have it? Matthew 23:23. Who? Don't leave me alone, please. Don't do that to me. Don't leave me alone. Who unto you, scribes and Pharisees? Now, look at me. Scribes and Pharisees, you know where they are today? In hell. They were enemies of Christ. They supposed to know the truth. They supposed to recognize by the Old Testament, supposed to recognize the Messiah. There are 419 prophecies about Jesus, about the Messiah. When Jesus came, he accomplished 312 of those prophecies to show them that he is the Messiah. So he came, but the Pharisees and the scribes and the priests, the Levites, they have their own religion. They will not follow the Old Testament. They don't have nothing to do with Moses. In Babylon, they create this new religion, the rabbis and the synagogues, and they returned to the land, and they brought with them this new religion. So in the days of Jesus, they don't have nothing to do with the Bible, with the Old Testament, and they have their own religion. And Jesus came, and they don't like him. They do not recognize him as the Messiah, and they fight with him. And actually, finally, they were their enemies and promote to the, for Jesus go to the cross. So Jesus is talking to these people that is in hell, to these unsaved people, and look what he says to them. Who unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, correct to say that way? Hypocrites. Why you call us that way? For ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omit the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. This ought ye to have done, unbelievers, people there who is not saved, he says there, and not to leave the other undone. Jesus is commended, is the only compliment, I can say that way, that Jesus gave to these unbelievers that are in hell today. He says, you are paying tithe, you are wrong in justice, mercy, faith, you are wrong in other things. You must, you have hypocrites, you plant in your house these small plants, and you have mint, you have different plants, you have this time to harvest, and you harvest the leaves, and you say, okay, we must know how much they are, what is the weight? So you put there the weight, 28 grams, okay, take 2.8 grams because we're going to pay the tithe. Hypocrites! You pay the tithe and you leave the important things of the law. You must go to practice justice and mercy and faith, but keep tithing. Keep tithing. That's the New Testament. Hebrews 7. Hebrews 7. The book of Hebrews was written to the Jews that were spread all around the empire. Listen to me. The Jews that were around, they were Jews in Iraq, Babylon, where Peter went to preach them. They were Jews in Rome, in the capital of the empire. They were Jews in Alexandria, Egypt, in Africa. They were Jews in Greece, in what is now Turkey. They were Jews everywhere. So they received this letter. Now, these Jews that were saved, the Christians, they received this letter of the Hebrew, the book of Hebrews. They received it in the churches. Most of the churches were Gentiles, but they have some Jew believers there. So the letter was to the Jews, members of the churches. And Hebrews chapter 7, verse 4 says, "Now consider how great this man was," talking about Melchizedek, "unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils." Said, okay, wait. You remember your great-great-great-grandfather, Abraham, he paid the tithe. You remember that? Okay, you remember that. Now, he continues saying, and then, in Hebrews 7, 5, "And verily, they that are of the sons of Levi, who received the office of the priesthood," and he continues saying, and later says, "and here men that die receive tithe." He says, okay, Jews. Saved Jews in the Gentile churches, mostly Gentiles, now spread all around the earth. Okay, you receive this letter. Let me tell you, don't forget that your great-grandfather tithes, okay? Abraham tithes. Even before Moses came to exist, he already paid the tithe. Now, and at that time later, Levi came and God chose Levi, and Levi has the obligation to collect the tithes of the people. He says, and they did that. But in our days, is what he's saying there, but here, men that die receive tithes. He says, is the normal practice in the church today to pay the tithe? Hey, Jews, we are not under the Old Testament. We don't have a temple in Jerusalem. But remember, you have the obligation to pay the tithe where you meet in the church that you attend. I don't care what Mr. John MacArthur says against the tithe. We care what the Bible says about paying the tithe. And he's against the tithe. And other preachers. God says, you have to give me money. You have to bring me offerings to me. Are you with me? Let me finish with Hebrews. I don't see you very convinced. Let me show you a little bit more. go to the book of Hebrews, please. Hebrews chapter 7. I don't know where you get this idea that tithe is only for the Old Testament. Okay. Hebrews 7. You have it? Hebrews 7. Now, let me show. Okay, can I do something, Pastor? Could you give me permission to do this? Can I read the verse in Spanish? It will be easier for me, and you will follow me in your Bible in the same verse. Is that correct with you? Is that okay? Okay, thank you. Thank you. Okay, verse 9. Verse 9, Hebrews 7, 9. Y por decirlo así, en Abraham pagó el diezmo también Leví, que recibe los diezmos. What he's saying there, that when Abraham paid the tithe to Melchizedek, he says, it's like Levi paying the tithes. Hey, wait a minute. It's Abraham, his son Isaac, his son Jacob, and then Levi. Levi wasn't born at the point that Abraham paid the tithes. And here the writer of Hebrews is saying, okay, when Abraham pays the tithe, it's like Levi paid the tithe, because Levi will come to exist as the descendant of Abraham. That means that Levi does not have the obligation to pay the tithe. That means that my father goes to church this Sunday and he will pay his tithe, so I don't have to tithe anymore because my dad will pay the tithe. It's not what he's saying. What he's teaching here is the transcendencia. How do you say that in English? Transcendence? Can I say that way? The transcendency or transcendence of the tithe for every single generation. It is no limit to the different dispensations. The payment of the tithe is for Abraham, is for Abel, is for Jacob, is for Levi, is in the days of Jesus, is for our days. It's a tax that we must to pay to God because He established it that way. It's interesting. In Malachi chapter 4, we are not returned there, but God says in verse 6, they're talking with the people there in Malachi chapter 3 verse 6. And he's mentioning in front of everything the what he's going to say. He's putting in front about his immutabilidad. He doesn't change. Immutability. He says in verse 6, I'm not changed. I do not change. Uh-huh. Is this correct? Say, God said I do not change. I changed that. Thank you. He said, God said, hey, people of Israel, we're going to talk. Okay, we're going to have a serious talk. Come to me. Let me state something. I change not. God is all powerful. He is omniscient. He is omnipresent. He is eternal. And he is immutable. He changed not. His particular, his personal attributes. God says, hey, let me put in front of you one of my attributes. I change not. The same thing that I believed 2,000 years ago, and 1,000 years ago, and 500 years ago, and with the same thing that I believe in the days of Adam and Eve and Noah, and the same thing, I still believe the same, and it will be the same for the future. Until here. I can give you a bunch of more arguments, but if you don't believe it, until now, you will not believe it later. We must give money to God. We still have a meeting tomorrow night, so we must too. Let's try to be kind one with another, okay? We must give money to God.
Amen.
How much? Okay, he says 10% of your gross income plus offerings. Are we clear? I don't like the way that you are watching me, so let's try to finish this fast, okay? Now, second thing, we must to pay tithes. And the payment of the tithe is for the missionaries. Payment of the tithe is for my wife. It's for every single, it's for me, it's for my children. Payment of the tithe is for every single creature. Now, number two, we must to give offering. 2 Corinthians 9, please, in your Bible. And you know, here we're going to spend a few minutes here in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. But let's start there in 2 Corinthians 9, 7, please, in your Bible. 2 Corinthians 9, 7. And maybe some of you get offended because I mentioned the name of another preacher. Okay, don't worry, you didn't. Okay, so you are okay. You're okay. No, don't worry. I did it, so don't worry about that. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. We must give offering. Okay, as the Bible says, every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, of necessity, for God love a cheerful giver. Now, God says, you're going to give me money. Yes, Lord. How much? 10% of your gross income. Okay, what else? Offering. He says, you must to bring me offering. Okay, and God says, okay, but you must to bring me offering, but let's do something clear, God says. Before you bring me money, offering, whatever you're going to give me, I want you to stop and step aside and think a few things before you bring me offering, okay? God, I'm making $400 per week, okay? It's 40 of tithe, 360 is left, so I can give you 5. What do you think about it? Okay, God says, okay, listen to me. You have to give me offering, but I want you to consider a few things. Number one, I want you to consider, before you give me an offering, I want you to consider that the giver gives himself first. Himself first. 2 Corinthians 8:5, please, in your Bible. 2 Corinthians 8:5. The giver must give himself first. 2 Corinthians 8:5. And this they did, talking about the Macedonians. Not as we hope, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Listen to me, you know the story of the Macedonians. Every single missions conference, somebody is preaching about 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Now, listen to me. You know the story of the Macedonians. The Macedonians today is a country. In those days, it was a region, and there were Christians there. Remember that the Christians were there, and these Macedonians, and Philippi, and Thessalonica, the Christians there, they were poor. The Bible says a few verses before that, in 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 5, is explaining that these people were very poor. They were extremely poor. Why they were so poor? Because God didn't bless them? They didn't pay the tithe? They did not give offering? Why they were so poor? No. They were extremely poor. Listen to me. Extremely poor because nobody likes them because they were Christians. The Roman government persecuted them. The pagans persecuted them. Even some Jews persecuted them because they have a new religion, a way of belief. So nobody likes them. Nobody likes the Christians. So they don't have rights. The people can stole the things from them, the land, the properties. They can steal the animals, and nobody takes care of them. Nobody cares of them. There were no laws to protect them. So that's why they were very poor. So Apostle Paul went there, and he preached the gospel to them. They get saved, and the Apostle Paul has in his heart that to send an offering to the poor people in Jerusalem because they were scattered there, and they make wrong decisions. They sell the properties, and they make wrong decisions. They are in need now. And also, there were a lot of widows there and orphans because of Paul when he was Saul. So he has this burden to send offerings there. So he says to the church, okay, we must send an offering, and next year we're going to collect an offering, so you and I must make a promise. And Paul says, he's talking to the church of Corinth, and he says there, okay, even the Macedonians are ready. They are extremely poor. I give testimony, he's not a liar. I give testimony that from the extreme of their poverty, they gave and they begged us to give. That means that Paul was in the churches, in these churches in the Macedonian area, and he said, okay, we must give money to God, and it's time for the offering. And the people come to bring the offering. And Paul says, how are you, brother? Fine, brother. Fine. Good. What do you do for a living? No, I don't have a job. You don't have a job? No. Why not? Because my boss find out that I'm Christian. He says, no, you don't work for me anymore. I don't want to see you here. And I don't have a job. Where do you live? Well, the pagan priest took my house. Where do you live? Well, for now, we're living with our neighbors there in one room all together. Mm-hmm. Okay. And what is that you have in your hands? It's the offering that you were talking about. Do you have milk for your children tonight? No. Do you have bread? No. They were extremely poor. There is no one person, listen to me, there is no one person in this country in the condition of them. No one person of 315 million in population of this country, no one here is like in the condition of the Macedonians. Why? Because if you are in the very poor condition, number one is because you don't work. Go to work. There's a lot of work here to do in this country. But number two, you have someone who can give you. Nobody gave anything to these people. And the Apostle Paul says, you want to give an offering? Brother, take it for your family. You need to feed your family, brother. And the Macedonian said, do you want us to kneel to you, so you, do you want us to beg you to take the offering for the saints that need it? So the Apostle Paul says, I'm impressed with that. And he says, now you, Corinthians, you need to understand. You need to give money. But make this clear in your mind. God is not after your money. The key for the Macedonians was that they gave themselves first. God says, I'm not looking for your $20 bill. God says, I'm not after your $100 bill. God says, I'm after you. I want you. I love my wife. We had been married for 26 years. And I love her with all my heart. Actually, I only want to be right and in peace with two people in the world, with God and my wife, and not always in that order. I love her deeply. My wife learned not to express what she desires because I will try to give it to her. So she gets to the point that she don't say anything, just see things, and she don't say anything because I will look the way under my means to get it. We were traveling in Mexico. We have this small car. It was comfortable for both. A small car. It was a Ford Focus, and we were there, and we traveled. The churches go to the mountains and preaching, and what we do in our ministry. And we were in the highway, and there was a car that was low. It was 80 miles per hour, so I had to pass this car. car. So I just passed the car. And my wife turned her head and saw the car. And she says, oh, what a beautiful. And she did like this. It was a Dodge Journey. You have that model here? Uh-huh. Yeah, Dodge Journey. Uh-huh. Yeah, minivan. Yeah, uh-huh. And do you know what I did? I bought it to her. I'm still paying. No. It's already covered. But I love her. She has my heart. She has the rest. What do you want? What do you need? She has my wallet. I have my credit card. She has a copy of every single credit card. She has everything because she has my heart. If God has your heart, God, what do you want? You want my shoes? You want my children? You want my family? You want my phone? You want my car to bring people to the church? You want my house to start there, a Bible study during the week? What do you want? Whatever you want is yours. What do you want? Money is there for me to take it, whatever, everything that you need. God says, that's what I want. I'm looking for your heart. So God says, you have to bring me money. What? Tithe and offering. Tithe 10%. What about offering? Okay, before you come to me, I want you. You need to have that clear. Number two. God says, measure what I have given you before you give to me. It says in 2 Corinthians, please, chapter 8. Follow me in your Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. He says, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. He's talking about grace. Grace. Verse 6, the last part of the verse. Also finish in you the same grace also. Verse 9, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus says, God is saying, hey, you must give me money, but before you give me, you measure what I had given you before you given me. What do you have? Let me try to say it correctly. What do you have that God had not given you? What really did you get by yourself without Him? So God says, you're going to bring to me with you're going to come with an offering? Okay, good. Before that. Okay. Think about how much I gave you before. Then from there, you may think and then you approach to me with your offering. Now, what is the greatest gift that God has given you? Life. Life. God is eternal, and He allows us to exist in His universe. Life. The second greatest gift that He gave us is eternal life through Jesus Christ, to live with Him forever. So we have salvation. Do you understand that the hell is real, that the lake of fire, different place, is real, and you will never see both places? Ha! By grace. Now, if you have to buy your own salvation, and it's not by works, it's not to buy him, but if God thinks different, and He says, okay, Jesus will not die, and you must to buy your own salvation, how much are you willing to pay for your salvation? Everything. Okay. How much will you pay to God for the privilege to live in the United States of America? You don't get it. You don't get this point. We preach this in South America and Asia, and everybody says, yes, brother, you're right. Yes, yes, I understand the concept. Let's give money to God. You take it for granted. Okay. Okay, how much it worth for you not to live in Pakistan? You get it now? Not to live in Eritrea, Sudan. You know, you live here because the grace of God.
Amen.
How many of you have $10 in your pocket? Raise your hand. Okay. You know that statistic that you are one of the 1% of the population in the world if you have $10 in your pocket? You are very privileged. I don't understand this crazy young man that wants to leave this country. Okay, but that's another thing. If they're called by God for missionaries. God says, you're going to give me something? Okay. What had I given you? Number two, God says, okay, you need to give me tithe and offering. Okay, but before you give me offerings, God says, you need to think. You need to make an examination before you come to me. And he says, listen to me, you must give yourself to me first. Number two, you must measure what I have given you. Number three, God says, what you give to me, listen to me, what you give to me must to affect your lifestyle. Please, missionaries, you say amen. Please don't leave me alone. You say amen, okay? Even if you don't understand, you just say amen, please, okay? Support me, please, support me. Verse 9 in your Bibles. Verse 9. Second Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. Please, follow me in your Bibles. God says, your offering, what you give to me, must to affect your lifestyle. Second Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. You have it? Verse 8:9. Open your Bible. You have it there? Excellent, excellent. 2 Corinthians 8, 9. Let me read in Spanish, you follow me in English. Porque ya conocéis la gracia del Señor Jesucristo, que por amor a vosotros se hizo pobre siendo rico, para que vosotros con su pobreza fueseis enriquecidos. The Bible says here that Jesus was rich, millionaire. The riches was, he has abundant riches, that's plosios, the Greek word there. And listen, he had another way of thinking. Now, the context of the chapter, the next chapter, is not talking about Jesus get humble, and Jesus was a very humble person. No, it's talking about money. It's the context where this verse is, verse 9, is in the context of talking about money. And the Bible says that Jesus was, before he was a millionaire, he was plosius, he was in another life, another style of living. He was the owner of everything. He had everything. He was with the Father. He has all the honor and glory, all the worship from the angels. He has everything, all the universe on his feet. Everything belongs to him. He was rich. But the Bible says that he became what? Poor. Pseo. Greek, he says, it means beggar. Beggar. Jesus himself changed his lifestyle. He was in heaven with all the glory, with all the riches, with all the majesty, and he came as a beggar to this world, and he was born in a poor family, in a poor town, with no money. Do you understand that Jesus, when he was preaching, he wasn't wealthy? Jesus did not have, he must travel. He had to travel from Galilee to Jerusalem, 120 miles. And he must travel without car, without planes, without, you understand, 2,000 years ago. And he must travel. Now, Jesus, listen to me, in his ministry, he has 12 apostles, okay? And the apostles weren't single. They were married, and they had their wives with them. They did not stay at home. They followed their husbands and the children there. And also, they have ladies and other people that serve the Lord. So the Lord always, every day that he has 120, 140, 150 people with him all his ministry. And he has the responsibility as the master to take care of them, to provide for them, to feed them. Okay, we're going from Galilee to Jerusalem. Let's going to have the journey. It will take us 8, 9, 10 days to get there. So he must. And he wasn't creating or making miracles every single day to multiply the bread. Okay, today is Tuesday. Okay, what do we have, Apostle? What do we have? Okay, we have a piece of bread. Okay, bring it to me for breakfast and let's pray. Well, a little coffee. Okay, let's pray for it. So multiply for everybody. No. He did that in a special occasions. What he did, he had a treasure. He had Jude. Why? Because his ministry was financed. Is that correct? Financed by people who give offerings. That's why they have Jude. Peter. Yes, Lord. We're going to Jerusalem to preach. Okay, what about my luggage? I have 10 pieces of luggage. Why only 8? I don't know, Lord. You take them and only we have 2 only. No. Jesus only have a couple, maybe 3 pieces of clothes. He was rich, but he became poor. He changed his lifestyle for us. God says, your giving to me must to affect your lifestyle too. What that means? That means that when you come to church Sunday morning, you have plans in your mind. After church, we're going to the Chinese buffet and we're going to spend $150. Okay? And don't go there. But for the illustration, for the sake of illustration. A few Sundays in the year, you must think, says, no. We're going back home. We're going to eat what we have there. And this $120, $150 that we're going to spend in the family It's going to be an offering for the Lord. That means to change your lifestyle. Change your lifestyle. That means there's a pastor, Mexican pastor. Well, he's an American pastor, but he has a Spanish church in the border. Brother, Pastor Roy Velez. He has a church there in Mission, Texas with Hispanics. And they have their mission conference in November. But you know what they do, Pastor? All the men, well, not all the men, but three or four, no. But the rest of the men in the church, they give their entirely salary of 1 month for missions conference. And they prepare themselves 2 months ahead to have some cans and some food and to prepare. Because November, all my paycheck, the entire month is for God, for missions. Change your lifestyle. Okay. Next one. You don't like that one? Let's see the next one. God says, if you're gonna give me offering, you have to. You must do. Your giving does not supposed to affect the testimony of your church. You can read there that these Macedonians, they gave. And listen to me. And they gave because Paul preached to them and mentioned them that Corinth, they were ready to give. And they were eager to give, and they prepared the promise, and they will accomplish the promise in a year. So Paul says to the church, hey, I mentioned your testimony, and because I mentioned your testimony, so the Macedonians say, okay, we can give too, according to what we have, but we can give. And Paul says, okay, now we're going to collect the offering, and I send the titles, and they're going to collect the offering. You must be prepared, because I don't want you to be, find out that you are not prepared, and you will be embarrassed, because the Macedonians are come with me, they will say, what about these people? They're supposed to. And you will affect the testimony of your church. Your promise to missions, your offering, don't supposed to affect the testimony of the church. Listen to me. What do you think of a church? Listen to me, church. Let me try to be clear with you tonight. What do you think of a place? It may be called Salón del Reino. How do you say that in English? Kingdom Hall. Uh-huh. Thank you. Kingdom Hall. For these people that they don't have salvation, they don't believe Jesus is God, they cannot approach to God because God, they are enemies of God, and they have their building paid. In a church with the pure doctrine, with salvation, let's suppose a Baptist church, they still owe money of their building. What testimony is that? Ah, are you talking to us? Yes, I'm talking to you. I'm not preaching a Methodist church, I'm talking to you. The testimony. If you make a low, I was thinking to say miserable, but I would not say miserable, a low faith promise, you must cut some of those missionaries because you did not increase, so we cannot take new missionaries, but we must decrease. And we pastor have to write to the missionaries and say, okay, we are running 200 people, but the faith promise went down, so we must cut your support. What kind of testimony is that? Of a church in New York City, in the United States of America? Come on, don't look at me that way. Your problem is that you cannot go 5 times to Starbucks during the week. Come on. The last one. God says, you're going to give me money, you must think. What you give must to motivate others that they want to give to me also. 9:2. 2 Corinthians 9:2, please, in your Bible. 2 Corinthians, we finish with this. No, I've lied to you, I'm sorry. One more verse. But we're going to see this one fast, okay? Quickly. 9:2. 2 Corinthians 9:2. 9:2. pues conozco vuestra buena voluntad, de la cual yo me glorío entre los de Macedonia, que acá ya está preparada desde el año pasado, y vuestro celo ha estimulado a mí. Mira lo que Paul says, okay, because you give, that stimulates, that provokes others to give. You're planting two missions here? In the area? Two missions? Brother Tala and so on? Brother Vicker, okay. Your faith promise this week must to encourage your two new missions so they we want to do more. Did I say it correctly, or you don't understand, or you don't agree with me? Are they going to ask Pastor in next Monday, how was your faith promise for mission, Pastor? Brother Tala will call, and I will tell him to call. He will call, say, Pastor, how was the faith promise? I want to give a report to our church. And the report must be, oh, brother, we're going to support 20 more missionaries. Is that real? Yeah, we're going to support more missionaries. The people, they decide to do more for God. They decide to leave, to quit Starbucks. They decide to quit smoking. Oh, they make decisions this week. And then we're going to get more money for God. And the people is encouraged. And we're going to pay the building. And they say, wow, Pastor, I'm going to share that with the church, with the mission. And the mission will want to do more because your testimony. We need to get excited about God and His work and His things and His money and His souls and His plans. There is no better thing in this world than being bold, especially in giving money. I love to give money to God. I don't have to say that. I'm supposed to say this, but I love to give money. And let me help you in your giving. A very easy way to give money is just think that money belongs to somebody else. I take $20 from my pocket, and it's not mine, it belongs to you, so I can give it to the missionary. It's your money. So I don't feel bad, because it's not my money. God says, your giving must to encourage other people, so they want to give too.
That's good.
The last thing here. Let me show you something. Go to Proverbs 19. We'll finish here. Proverbs 19. I want help. Pastor, can you help me, please? Pastor, come. Please come. Hey, Brother Wright, can you help me, please come? And do you have $20? $10. Come on, borrow me money, please. Okay. If you have 10 or 5, do you have a bill? Any bill. Anything. Japanese yen, anything. A quarter, anything. You have money? Yeah, check. It's a check. It's a good check. Okay, I need someone. Who can help? Hey, you help me, sir? Come. Yeah, you come. Come. Help me. Okay, Proverbs 19:17. Right there, please. Right there. Thank you very much. Okay. You have Proverbs 19:17?
Yeah.
Okay. Proverbs 19:17 says, he that hath pity upon the poor lendeth, know that word, lendeth unto the Lord. And that which he hath given will he pay him again. Listen to me.
You have money?
Okay, check.
Yeah. Listen to me. We have. Listen, he's going to play the role of a lost person, okay, in the other part of the world. He's in Japan, okay? He's in the military. Now, we have here the great you have here, Pastor. We have here the Christian, okay? We have the Christian, and we have the missionary, okay? He's in need. He's poor. He's not saved. He doesn't know Jesus. Okay, so the Bible says if you give to the poor, by the way, he's poor also. He's poor. Don't get impressed with his car. He will have to leave it here. So he's poor. Okay, listen to me. He's going church after church and living of your offerings. Okay, and God provides for us, but he's poor. So he is needy, and they have the greatest need. They need to receive the gospel. But to send the gospel to them, we need to give money to him to preach the gospel to him. So the Christian here gives money to the missionary, and with that money, we are not going to Starbucks, we are not going to Domino's Pizza, we are not going to do that this week because we want to give that to him, and he can go to Starbucks, he can go to Domino's Pizza, and with that strength that he will not get, he goes to preach the gospel to the lost. Go and preach the gospel to him, Brother Wright. Okay. Excellent.
That was quick. So he preached the gospel to him. Give him the check back. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Because I forgot later I have to pay. Okay. So now he receives. No, the Bible says. Listen to me. Don't miss this. he that had pity upon the poor, he that had pity upon the poor, lend it to whom? Lend it to whom? To the Lord.
Someone, brother, God, can you get girl, come here, please, come here. He will play the role of God. Because he's, thank you. He's the holiest of all of us. Okay. The one who has pity upon the Lord and gives, lend it to whom? Lend it to whom? To whom? To him. That word lend it in Hebrew means to. Say God. Is, listen, is
like a, is correct to say a string? String made of two or more twists and it's twisted? It's a different cord that you put it together. What is that?
Rope.
Okay, it's a rope, yeah.
When we give money to the poor, we are lending money to him. But lending there means to put God in this position and to take a rope and be tied together, and we go to the corner, we put God to the corner, and we are tied to him, and he's tied with us because we gave to the poor. We lend it to him. Now, for how long do you think that God will remain in that condition? He will be captive by us? No. He will make himself free. Yeah, release from us. Are you with me, so far? But how he does that? How he releases from us? But the last part of the verse is, and that which he had given, will he pay him again? So because he gave to him, he borrowed or lent to him, to God. Now God don't want to be in that position that he owes money to him. So he is, listen to me. He is in the obligation by himself. He put himself in that position. His obligation to do something about him. To repay him back for what he did. What he did! Have pity on the poor. How that works! Giving money to the missionary so he can help the poor there. Are you with me? Thank you very much. Thank you.
Pastor, please. We must give money to God. We must give money to God.
Amen.
How much? Tithes and offering. 10%, okay, it's yours. I have this extra. And by the way, if you work, you cannot put coins in the offering. God is not a beggar. It's God. It's an offering. Now, I understand some widows, some children, they don't have income. They do what they can. That's correct. I'm talking, some of you make $600 per week, $800 per week, $1,000 per week, or whatever, and you come with a $20 bill. That's not an offering. You want to give money? Yes, sir. Yes, my Lord. How much? Tithe? Yes, sir. 10% is yours. That's it. What else? Okay. How much do you get? 90% extra. Okay. Give me an offering. Yes, sir. You must do think some things before you come to me and give me money. And by the way, I have a plus for you. If you come to me with a cheerful heart and you come to me and you become more generous every year and you come to me, I have a special plan for even your finances. Because you are lending, you are borrowing to me. We're going to have a special relationship, you and I. Just come and obey what I command you. You have your faith promise card. How much are you going to promise? 120 people here Sunday morning? Adults? Okay, let me ask you something. It is too much to think that every single one of 120 adults gives $30 per week for missions. Is that too much for the local economy? Talk to me. Answer me. No, it's just an average, okay? There's some that they only can give $5. There's others that they will give. They can give more, but an average. $30 each person, 120, 300, it will be how much? 120 for 30? You missionaries, you know how to do numbers. I don't. But you know how the numbers it will be. 30 times 120 members. 3,600. Multiply that for 4 Sundays. It's a lot of money. You have a great potential to give and to double even the number of missionaries that you have. We will talk about that tomorrow. Okay, I don't want to go there now. The point is, what are you going to do? You must give money to God. Tithes and offering. Thank you.